Let's bring in Ray, and Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. What do you make of the Brian Boyle deal for the Leafs?
He's tall.
Great analysis.
That's all you get from me. Oh, that's what I'm saving the big stuff for Wednesday, man.
God help us, brother.
I like Brian Boyle a lot. I think he's kind of mean, and I wouldn't really want to play against him very much. He gives them some options to their lineup, and coaches love that, right? I look at him as he's going to play in the middle of the fourth line. He'll make the fourth line way better. He plays left wing, so he can move up if they want to play him on the wing at times. They've had all kinds of trouble looking for somebody to take faceoffs when they kill penalties. I mean, right now they've got, for the most part, when Gauthier's in, Gauthier takes the draw till they clear the zone, and then he leaves. And Komarov comes on, and they won't have to do that anymore. I think it's a really good player to acquire, and it's really interesting that in very short order they're adding a player to make the playoffs as opposed to, more futures, more futures, more futures. I would be really excited if I were a Leaf fan.
I asked Craig this question, Ray. Does it make sense if they're going to do this move and kind of help out the offense and the leadership and bring in Boyle, don't they have to kind of go to the next step and say, let's get a D-man too?
I buy that, but I also think that the priority on Boyle was probably pretty high, because if they waited too long, maybe somebody jumps in front of them on the queue. Like, look at what happened. It's like, yesterday there was the Bishop trade and the Hanzel trade, and then today there's one deal, all of a sudden there's five. And that the managers are sitting there going, wait a minute, I'm sitting at the table here, and there's going to be no cards left to play. And so that's why I think Boyle probably went quicker than somebody else. There are still D available. I don't know how many. It depends what teams want to do. Like, Montreal gets Jordy Benn, but they gave up a D and a draft pick. Could Toronto have made that deal and it'd been a good thing for them? I guess. But, maybe they feel we're okay with what we have if Jordy Benn was our next option at this point.
Yeah, I like the move as well. I'm with you in terms of how quickly this has all come about. When you consider where we were this time last year, the kids weren't even up yet. Nylander had not even made his debut. This team was still in the tank or reaching for the tank, hoping to become the last place team. Still had some dead weight that they had to unload. Still were hoping to win a draft lottery, hoping that Mitch Marner would be ready to play prominent minutes next season. And now you fast forward 12 months, and they're buying, and Tampa Bay Lightning are selling. It's just an astonishing 12 months.
You had them in the finals
months.
Too, didn't you, Ray?
I had Tampa in the finals this year. Did you, Ray?
No, I had Wash, I think.
No, I had Wash.
Well, you had them in the playoffs at the very least, I'm sure.
Oh, I had Tampa in for sure.
Yeah. And
it's funny, nobody prognosticates Stamkos going out for the year. Mm-hmm. Or Kucherov and Palat having terrible starts to the year. Johnson, too, for that matter. Like that, I think that all speaks to how close the teams really are. Even though, you're picking Tampa to go deep, you might not have been surprised if they would have been a wild card team. If you know what I'm saying, there's not really that much difference between a lot of the teams. And it happens fast. Like, Tampa can be a playoff team next year again.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, this is just what Tampa does. They have a bad year, and then they just kind of reset and retool, and they go at it again.
And so if you've got the right core chunk signed, which is one of the reasons that Tampa gets rid of Bishop now and Boyle, is Pierre LeBrun had a great point about they can use some of their cap or their bonuses this year so they don't have to let them leak into next year when they got to get those guys signed, Palat and Johnson and Drouin. So they can actually take on more bonus money now, but they couldn't do that unless they made some of these moves. It's a finicky line that those guys walk on now.
How do you feel about the price the Maple Leafs paid? Byron Fraze is just a contract, but the highest of their two remaining second-round picks in 2017?
Well, they still got the first, still got a second. I mean, they're back to square one now, right?
Right.
You know, so I don't...
With Freddie Anderson.
I'm sorry?
With Freddie Anderson.
Right. And so I think, Brian, I would be more concerned if the draft, everybody was jumping up and down about it this year, where you'd say, wow, they had 3 seconds, now they don't. But now it seems, you know, I mean, Craig's run these lists 100 times, and, you know, they're obviously going to be NHL players from this draft, but it's not a draft like last year where everybody, you know, was hanging on to their picks like it was the most valuable thing ever. It's not the case this year.
Right. And that, I think that's become very evident over the past 24 hours. A lot of picks are going out the door. And it does make you wonder what will happen between now and Wednesday. But
God, I hope nothing.
Yeah, I hear you, man. But it kind of felt like yesterday once everything started coming out about Bishop and Hansel. And
that's an interesting one, too, Bishop to L.A. Like, are the L.A. Kings in the last 22 games of the season, are they going to try to win 1-0 every night? Like, they can't score. They grind themselves into the ground. And they acquire Ben Bishop. I just found that odd.
Well, I watched the game Saturday, and it was really physical. They looked like a Kings game, right? And they scored 4 goals in the third period, and Quick was outstanding. Mm-hmm. So then they make this deal, and my thought is maybe they're really worried that Quick's only going to play 50% of the games. But he looked just like he'd never left.
Mm-hmm.
So if he plays 5 or 6 games, Bishop, then for the other 16 games, what you have is a taller guy wearing a baseball hat, because there's no benefit to that. If there must be concern, I would think, that he's going to have to play more than we might be guessing right now, but they have to get a forward. I mean, Kopitar said today it would be really nice to have a winger, like another winger. I mean, that's as much or as close to a controversial statement as Kopitar would ever make. He's got 6 goals this year. Like, that's amazing. And in his on his line today, he's got Adrian Kempe, who's a 20-year-old.
Well, Ray, their last cup when they won, I was shocked. And I know you're a little bit vulnerable after winning a championship, but Gabarek to a 7-year deal?
Oh.
I was like, there's some smart people in L.A., but that was asinine.
They've got a couple heavy rocks to carry around.
Oh, Dustin Brown, Gabarek.
You know, like that. Those are not ending anytime soon.
No.
And they've become, you know, I think Jonathan Quick's got 7 years left on his deal.
Well, the question is, Ray, when do they start applying the Lou Lamoriello theory where they just ask people to go away?
Well, I guess they hope somebody will take Brown this summer. Although Brown's got 11 goals. They're getting something out of him this year.
Yeah, he could get 20.
You know, like, I mean, that's, you're like, oh, well, he's been better for sure. But if Jeff Carter doesn't have an all-star year, he gets his 30th goal the other day, they're sunk already. So I bet your first statement, are they going to try and win every game 1-0? I think, yes, the answer is. That's really how they've got to play.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of debate going on Twitter right now about what the Ottawa Senators are thinking, because they just acquired Alex Burrows, who has not had a great, 3 or 4 years?
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's 36 years old.
Guys, I'm going to butt in for quick here, Brian, before you finish your thought. He's been actually really good this year.
He's been better this year. Okay.
But likelihood of that happening again, you got to understand, and you have to time it. And I saw it in Carolina with Rod Brind'Amour. They won the cup there, and they gave him a 3-year deal. He was done the next training camp.
Well, Ottawa has acquired Alex Burrows. They tacked on 2 years onto his contract, so he'll be 37 and 38 at that point. And they gave up Jonathan Dahlin, who Craig was just in here earlier and said he's a really good prospect.
Very skilled. We saw him at the World Junior Tournament. Not a big guy. Handles the puck extremely well. His dad's Ulf Dahlin.
Right.
I guess not that matters, but it's kind of an interesting point. But he's a skilled guy. Vancouver doesn't have enough of them. I like the deal for Vancouver. I like the deal for Ottawa if it was a 1-year extension. But maybe, because I think Burrows has another year for sure, but maybe Burrows wouldn't waive that deal. He's got a no-move clause. Maybe he doesn't waive it unless he gets a second year.
That's what it sounds like, right? I mean, I was reading over the weekend that he was going to be maybe the most difficult guy to sell on waiving. So if he had leverage and had, he's been there, what, his whole career, I believe. He's been there for a long time, Alex Burrows. Ottawa must have really wanted him. And obviously Ottawa has committed to him, and who knows what any prospect is going to turn into. I just don't know, even with Burrows playing much better this year, as you point out, this doesn't put them over the top.
No, but I think it speaks to, Brian, you know, a lot of times we look at a deal and all we can really understand, unless we get into like forensic science of all their prospects, is what it looks like, you know, at the NHL level. But I think adding a guy like Burrows and signing him past this year speaks to what they have in their pipeline, which is not much immediately. Like, they're going to add Colin White by, as soon as his college year is over, Colin White will come from Boston College to Ottawa. He had a terrific World Junior for the U.S. and the Senators are pumped to get him here. But then they got Logan Brown, who has been hurt a lot. His skating needs work. He was their first rounder last year. Past that, I don't really know how many forwards they have that are ready to go.
Right.
So Mark Crawford, who's an assistant coach, coached Burrows here for a number of years. There would be that familiarity. Ottawa's on a, you know, Ottawa's been basically rolling out anybody upright in their lineup here because they've been so decimated lately with injuries. Yet they got a chance to overtake Montreal for the division lead.
Well, and that's what's intriguing about these moves. And circling back to Toronto, I think acquiring Boyle makes a lot of sense on a lot of different levels. Ben Smith can't play every night. He can't. I think he's a fringe NHL player. Freddie Gauthier probably isn't ready to play prominent minutes over the final 21 games. So you bring in Boyle, and now you got Matthews, Bozak, Kadri, Boyle. That's a very solid middle of the ice and a lot of flexibility there. But it's a message to the Maple Leafs that management believes they can get in. But I wonder if it's a message that management's also looking ahead, saying not only can we get in, we think we can win a round or two. Do you get that impression from the Leafs standpoint, and I guess also from Ottawa's standpoint?
I do, and I think that also speaks back to what we talked about early, Brian, about how close everything is. Like, if you're in a playoff round, I would think you can, in a lot of cases, build a case for yourself to say, yeah, we could win that first round. And so if somebody else is adding, then you think you have to add. Or if you're like Ottawa, they had to add a forward. They've been looking for a forward since Clark MacArthur was injured in training camp. And they were looking at the high end. That didn't happen. And now they're, you know, into guys that would be lower down on your lineup card. You know, they added Tommy Wingles. Now they added Burrows. And so they're thinking they can that they can win. They can win around. And they get excellent goaltending. Their defense has been better, and defense has been a whole lot better. And so I see their point. I do. I wonder about the second year on the extension. I don't have a problem with the first year at all.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. As for the Leafs, I think what's really interesting about this is it sends a little bolt to the players of, yeah, we are a team of the future, but guess what? That doesn't mean we can't worry about now. Because I don't know, don't you think in your first year, you kind of, things are going well for you, or first or second year, and you don't even really think about the bigger picture. You're just kind of sailing along and
you're
playing.
Just happy to be in the NHL and try to have a good year.
You're late in the run here, and you're like, oh yeah, we're in a playoff spot. That's kind of cool. But you don't understand the importance of it. But by adding Brian Boyle, you're going to get someone that if you don't understand, he will help you understand by his experience. By the fact he went to a Stanley Cup final and lost a couple of times, and now he's here making, or has a chance to make a real impact. Their center ice position is really solid. Like, it's enviable, actually.
Yeah, it really is. When you compare it to other teams, they've got a lot of options up there.
Well,
look
at the center ice positions of the teams that are around them, and you go, well, that's pretty darn good. You know, Boston's got Krejci and Bergeron. You know, they've moved Backes to the wing. They've got Ryan Spooner. That's their three guys. You know, Montreal's been a dog's breakfast in the middle of the ice this year. And so now they're hoping that Galchenyuk is kind of maybe going to start to come a little bit. Plekanec can find some kind of fountain of youth. You know, but they're a team that you would go, well, Toronto's got better depth in the middle there. Same with, you know, Ottawa's actually pretty good in the middle. If Brassard plays to the way he can play, and he's been better lately, that Turris, Brassard, Pajot is really good. But adding Boyle gives them flexibility, depth, size. I really like it.
Well, and there's also another angle to all this formula for me. If you really believe you can get through to another round, you've got to finish second or third in your division. Because if you're the second wildcard team and you're going into Washington, you're toast. I mean, none of these teams, Boston, Ottawa, Toronto, Florida, the Islanders, they're losing in 4 or 5, as far as I'm concerned, against Washington. But Boston, I mean, they won again yesterday. They're rolling. Ottawa, they picked up big 2 points in regulation.
Funny, you can't even say they're rolling, can you?
It's weird.
You're like, they just kind of win.
They find a way. I watched that game yesterday.
Why?
I don't know. I'm with you. But they're up 2-1 going into the third. I'm like, they're going to close.
Oh, yeah, 1-4.
They're winning, and they win 3-1, I think it was. And yet, you know, that second, whoever is in the 2 and 3 spot, you have to feel very good about winning at least a round, if not two. But if you're that second wild card, you're in a very different position because you're going into Washington more than likely.
Well, it's almost like when we talk about, you know, some of the divisions that, you know, you've got to be careful. There's 5 great teams here and 3 great teams in this conference. Well, look what's going to happen in the division setup. If you play in certain divisions, you're going to play one of the big boys in the first round. That right. Second, that 2-3, one of the big teams is going to get, or one of the better teams is going to get pumped. Right? Like it's just going to happen. So
you just got to really, get in. You just
got to
get in.
Find a way to scratch and claw and get in. And here's the one thing I think I'm slowly coming around to in this cap world is I think some of the prices teams pay are gross. But you know what? If you're close, I think you got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then in time, when your big boys get older, then perhaps you trade them for younger picks and prospects, and then you, in theory, reload coming around the backside. Like, that's what, when Minnesota traded a first-rounder and a second-rounder for Hanzel, they have 4 forwards that we saw at the World Junior Tournament that aren't that far away from at least competing, legitimately competing for NHL spots in Minnesota. Kaprizov, the Russian player, Eriksson Ek from Sweden, and then the 2 Americans, Greenway and Cunnan. So their thought has to be, okay, a weaker draft, we can give up a first-rounder, Hanzel leaves after the season, Stahl's got another 2 years, he leaves, Koivu's in that same time frame, and then we can roll these kids into those spots. Like, that's the theory. How else are you going to do it? Because you've got to go for it when you think you've got a chance. And I don't think Toronto blew their brains out by any stretch. It's expensive. You know, a second rounder for Ron Hainsey is expensive, but man, Pitt thinks they got a chance to win, and they should think that.
As they should, absolutely. I don't think the Leafs did anything crazy here. I think they've sent a message to their room, to their fan base. They've added a good piece, and it's also a chance to look at what Boyle brings to this lineup because they're going to have some money this offseason, and maybe they look to sign him long term.
What are the chances somebody asks Babcock after the game today? Or tomorrow, whenever Boyle makes his debut, what did you think of him? Well, I know he's 6'6".
Oh, every day of the week. That line will get
six
used.
6'6", every shift.
So I like that. Good for him and good for us.
Uh-huh. That's yeah. Good pro. Be. He does good things, and good things happen to good people.
And he's a good man. My favorite was when he talked about Marchenko. And he said, you know, he's got a good stick. He's a good makes a good first pass. He's physical. So that makes him a good man. And I'm like, what does any of that have to do with being a good man?
It all makes sense, man. That's all it matters.
Somehow it does.
Or anybody that has a kid's a good man. He's got 2 kids, good man, he fights, family man.
He fights harder for pucks because he's got to put food on the table.
That's right. That's right.
All right, buddy. Well, we'll see what happens between now and tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Oh, you call the Western Conference GMs, I'll call the East. Tell them to put a nix on this till Wednesday, would you?
No. You know how I like. I tell Duffy I don't want to talk. I'll be doing a lot of that motion with my hand. No thanks.
No thanks.
All right, buddy.
Okay, later, boys.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca.